You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Your Ultimate Life here on LA Talk Radio this afternoon. Today is the Olympic Chronicles, part one. I'm going to do this today and next week. Do you want to talk a little bit about the Olympics? You know, I haven't followed them like religiously a lot, but we have had them on most of the time. And I didn't used to be much of a sports person until I married my my angel wife, Joy, and she's magic. And she started with world events. She really got into the World Cup soccer and then into Tour de France. We used to watch that every year. And in the last 4 or 5 years, they've made it so hard to watch. We can't find it anymore, except on some streaming apps. And that's too complicated. So we haven't watched that the last 3 or 4 years. But like this year, there was the Euro Cup and the Copa, which is the, you know, the sort of North and South America, and a bunch of others. And then here we are in the middle of the Olympics right now. So what I wanted to talk about today is some things that I have seen and learned just from this first half of the Olympics. It's a lot of fun to think about this and to see what's going on in the world of sport. It's interesting because, you know, there's a lot of upheaval. upheaval going on in the world right now. There's wars. There's a war in Europe, which is, you know, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, 2.5 years of people, countless numbers of people getting slaughtered for no reason other than the greed and madness of a dictator. And I'm not taking any political sides, but invading a country and murdering a bunch of people is whack, no matter what. And the other main war, there's more, but the other main war is going on in the Middle East. And that's also started by an invasion where a whole bunch of people were innocently killed. And now there's all kinds of craziness going on about that. So I didn't want to talk about war and I didn't want to talk about politics, but mentioning that as a prelude, because one of the things I saw in the opening ceremonies was a request, an expression of hope, a desire for unity, for growth, for trying to do something good in the face of all this craziness that is in fact going on. And you know what I mean. And you may or may not follow any of those conflicts, and you may or may not follow sport. But I know for sure that you know and you can feel that there's a lot of craziness going on in the world. I'm in Canada, but I'm a United States citizen, as well as my wife and I are both dual national. We have Canadian citizenship and U.S. citizenship. I was born in the U.S. and she was born in Canada, and we've both lived in both places for a number of years, and so we have reciprocal citizenship. Right now, we live in Canada, and in 2024, there's this election going on in the United States. And I have clients, I'm a coach. Maybe you know that, maybe you don't, but my income, my business is a coach. And we'll talk about that in a minute in the context of Olympics. But I talk to people in the U.S. all the time because I'm a coach and I have clients all over the place. And they talk about the palpable angst, being caused by the political instability, by the violence. You know, there was an assassination attempt on one of the candidates. There was vitriol and garbage language on both sides talking about the other, and that just raises the level of anxiety and vitriol. And about a month or two, month and a half or so ago, one of the big candidates in the U.S. dropped out, Biden dropped out, and he's being replaced by his vice president to be the nominee for one party. And, you know, the rhetoric and vitriol hasn't changed. It seems like the polls have moved a few points, probably because it seems like, at least from what we saw up here in Canada, that Biden as a candidate was so old he couldn't keep track of his mind anymore and he was losing it. No bad on him. He's old. That happens. I expect when I get hopefully a little older, that'll happen to me too. But right now it isn't. Not yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if and when it does. So given all that monstrosity and all that stuff going on into the world, it might seem hard to create a life of peace. It might seem hard to live in, you know, just peace in your heart, purpose, have a purpose for your life, and prosperity, like have the cash you need, and a prosperity of relationships and spirituality and love and kindness and joy. It might seem like, wow, that's just out of flipping reach. Well, it's not. And the only reason I'm doing this show right here, Your Ultimate Life, is to spread a different message, to spread a message of hope, of optimism, of possibility, and to encourage every single person who listens to this or any part of it to love themselves and to love others, to choose to be tolerant, to listen, to end negative rhetoric. You don't have to agree with people. You don't be a doormat. You don't turn into milk toast and forget all that. But there's a way to live without violence and hate. There really is. And we're not doing a very good job of finding it yet, but there's a lot of calls for that. And the opening ceremonies in the Olympics was one of them, a call to see if we can't find a better way. I have another client who's not an active client, but he was a client a couple of years ago for a year. And he's opening a healing and retreat center in Portugal, I think. And I get emails from him periodically, and I just got one today. And he's talking about he and this business partner that he has, and in cooperation, collaboration with some other investors, are opening a center for meditation, for healing, for literally changing the way we do the world, changing what we believe, changing how we talk to each other, changing how we treat the world, the earth itself, and all of the rest. And I know it all sounds like mumbo jumbo and wishful thinking, but if you don't and I don't change things, what will? Is it going to take war and death and destruction and more wars? Is that what the answer is? Gee, we got nothing we can do about it, so we throw up our hands and say, what the heck? Boy, I hope not, because I certainly am not in that camp, and I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission, and I'm not I'm quiet about it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm noisy and proud. And here's the mission. My mission is to help you listening right here, right now, to create a life for you, for yourself, of purpose, where you are driven by an internal purpose, a life of prosperity, where you have enough of everything you need and more, an abundance, and a life of joy, purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now, those are the three words I use, and you have your ideal life will be described in other words. And there are other things besides money, cash, recognition, power, that sort of thing. That's all the traditional mumbo jumbo. And, you know, we all have been, I don't know all, most have been taught to seek, to claw, to grasp, to grind, to climb the ladder. Forget who we stomp on, step on. Well, there's a feeling going around that's changing that. I just had a fun opportunity about 2 hours ago today to talk to a brand new person I'd never met. And I say that a lot on here, but I structure my day so I meet a lot of people. And this gal said, I have a couple of people I want you to meet, and ask if it was okay if she'd connect them. And I said, of course, I love talking to people. And so I meet new people every day. And in this case, she had an amazing story. She is a powerful person who's had her own journey through life with hills and valleys and destruction and creation and all the rest, just like you have. People that have betrayed you, people that have helped you, people that have been dishonest and robbed you, maybe physically and maybe spiritually or maybe emotionally, but also people that have supported you and lifted you and been there when you need it. So, and her story was amazing. Excuse me. And she has also been drawn to the world of coaching. And this is what I want to talk about for just a second. And then I'm going to draw it into the Olympics. Coaching, I call it the people encouragement business. I call it blind spot protection service. I call it anxiety elimination business, obstacle obliteration business. You know, I have about a dozen names like that that are kind of fun that describe the work of a coach. It's what I do. My work, when I work with people, Yes, I get into nitty-gritty details about financial statements and sales forecasts and funnel creation online and managing people and how to handle angry employees and even people that are trying to take over your company. I have all of that stuff, but it's in a different basket. And the basket is all of that stuff is going to happen, some of it a little and some a lot. And the most important question isn't, why did this happen to me? The most important question isn't, how do I get even with the jerk wad or jerk wads that did this to me? The most important question isn't to scream and shake your fist at the sky. Why? The most important question is, who are you going to be as you face each challenge? That's it. If you're a defeated victim who sits in the victim's corner, you're going to get your ass whooped over and over again and live in the cycle of anger and blame. That leads nowhere except more of the same. Or you can live in the end of the other end, which is the end of the owner, the kind of the owner victim line, right? You're not going to live as a victim. You're going to live as an owner. An owner doesn't control all the things that happen to them. Think about an owner of a house. You can buy a house and it had a good inspection and everything. And then 2 or 3 years on, the air conditioner breaks or the plumbing corrodes through and you have a mess or some other thing happens, right? As a victim, you would say, I can't do this. I can't afford it. Why did this happen to me? And you'd rage and then you'd try to stumble through and blame somebody and do that kind of thing. As an owner of a house, you say, you don't do that. You say, well, I got to fix this. I live here. I don't want water dripping on my head. I remember I had a house much younger, in my younger days, where the roof did leak, right? It leaked in the corner one day. I saw, why? I got a leaky roof, and I'd never had a house with a leaky roof before. Of course, I think I'd only owned one house before that one. So I just thought, I don't know what to do. And so, but I was the owner. This is my house. So I had to fix something. So I called roofers and said, hey, I don't know how to do this or what's going on, but here's what's going on. Somebody came out. They looked at it. They told me what was going on, and we fixed it. Now, my emotional behavior during that time wasn't fury and rage or resignation and fear. It was just, we got to take some action. Let's get it done. That is the owner mindset. As a coach, my goal is to create for you. You're my clients right now. I think of you that way. You're not paying me in terms, you are paying me. You're paying me a little bit of your time, but you're not paying me high fees as a coach like I get when I have other clients. But what I do is, I'm going to do right now is I want to invite you to stop blaming. I want to invite you to listen to the language you use about yourself, about your circumstances, about your opportunities. Do you use victim language? Do you say, maybe, I'll try? Yoda, do or do not. There is no try. I want you to listen to that because that's the difference between owning your life and simply getting by. You're better than that. You're worth more than that. You're infinitely capable. Act like it. Now let's go to the Olympics as this, through this sort of coaching metaphor. One of the most important things that an Olympic coach does is help with the mindset. The mindset. That is the most important thing. Now, in saying that, I'm assuming you have Olympic level skill. You don't have a beginner walk in off the street and try to compete in some Olympic event, the 8-person rowing event, or, you know, any of them. I'm in Canada, so we were proudly, aware that the women's hammer throw was won gold medal by a Canadian. Wow, first time that's ever happened. So we got a gold medal in the women's hammer throw. And if I remember right, I think it was also the men's hammer throw, right? Now, that's incredible. But here's the interesting thing about it. You know who the coach is? The coach is some 80-something-year-old dude. Now, the 80-something-year-old dude can't throw the hammer across the street, probably. I don't know, maybe. but certainly not high level. But they know how to manage the actions, the behaviors, the practice routines, the mental discipline, and the mindset. Now, this particular coach has been producing high-level athletes for 50 years. Hear that, 50 years. Some people say, well, unless you are at the top of the game, you can't be my coach. That's nonsense. Actually, it's true. I'll take that back. It's not nonsense. But they're talking about the wrong game. So someone says, unless you're making a gazillion dollars right now, you can't coach me because I want to make more money than you are. That has nothing to do with it. There is a set of skills that you need to accomplish a goal. Hammer throw, making money, creating products, writing books, overcoming addictions, fixing relationships. There is a skill set. But the most important thing is the mindset. And here's why. You have to believe you can do it. If you believe you can't, you'll fail every time. If you believe you can't, you'll fail every time. I know I repeated myself. I heard that over and over again on the Olympic commentators. Mindset, mindset, mindset. And you know what they did? They were talking about that in one of the sprinting races, the 100. I think it was the women or the men's 100 or both. They were talking about the tension in a person, you know, uptightness, worry, fear, all that kind of thing, anxiety. And they said, you know, when the coaches work with these people, one of the most important things they do is teach them to relax. Now, I want you to think about that. Have you ever been on stage, you know, some part to sing or to speak or to give a prezi at work? You're on stage. You're going to go after this. And a lot of money is hanging in the balance, closing an account or losing an account or losing your job or whatever, right? And so you're uptight. That uptightness will eat your lunch every time. That uptightness causes you to forget what you're wanting to say, forget your flow, not speak correctly, and do a sucky job. There's a reason physiologically. Uptightness produces cortisol and adrenaline, which makes you stupid. It sends all the blood to your large muscle groups and gets you into fight or flight. It's not helpful in performing well at all. You get ready to go up and make a speech and you're so uptight you can't think straight. And guess what? You don't. You don't think straight. You forget your lines. You forget your stuff. So the trick, and it isn't a trick, it's a skill. It's a powerful skill. Learn to relax in the face of pressure. Learn to relax in the face of expectations. Now, can you think of a higher playing field than the Olympics? Of course not. That's the pinnacle of all things. They have world championship events and everything else, but the Olympics holds a special place in the heart of every sports person and every person in any competition. The Olympics is the holy place, right? Now, you may not be an athlete of any kind, and you certainly may not be an Olympian. I don't know. But you have an Olympics in your life. You do. You have a thing, a mountain, a barrier you want to smash, a beast dragon you want to slay, a thing you want to accomplish that's so important to you. You have it. You know it, and you're thinking of it right now. Key number one, relax. Learn to relax, because in that state of relaxation, you can access your greatest creativity, your greatest focus, and your greatest power. People talk about the state of flow. That is where you're just working right at the edge or a little beyond your capability. Time seems to slow down. Your brain slows down into alpha state, and time seems to expand. Everything moves in slow-mo. Athletes talk about it all the time. So do artists. I experience it all the time. You experience it too. Usually when we're going to sleep or waking up, that sort of half wakeful state, that is alpha state in the brain. And we have all kinds of genius insights and thoughts there, and we mostly don't remember them. What if you could learn to access that state on purpose, on demand, anytime? That's what the Olympians are doing. They're accessing their state of relaxed focus. Relaxed focus. So anyway, when this announcer was talking about that, to us as the audience, then the cameraman switched to the faces of all of the athletes standing there at the starting line, shaking out and shaking their legs, you know, their quads and their body, and some were circling their arms, and some were bending over and touching the track for flexibility and all that stuff. But the faces were all completely calm. There was not a look of none, complete calm on every one of the faces as they talked about, as the announcers were talking about this. And it was funny because they'd already shown the lineup and introduced, you know, each person as they come out and show the flag and say their name and they wave and all that stuff. That had already happened. And then they were standing on the line getting ready for On Your Mark, Get Set, Go. And their faces were complete relaxation. Well, that's not an accident. There you are on the highest stage that you can possibly ever be on as an athlete. The most pressure there could ever be to reach down inside and grab the deepest and most powerful performance of your life. Many do that. I'm surprised as I watch some events at how many, and I love that they do this now, at how many performances are marked by PB. Personal best. Even players that come in third or fourth or fifth, they're nowhere near the podium. They turned in a personal best performance. Wow. Think about that. So here's the point. You have an Olympics every day. Your life is once in a lifetime, each day that goes by. Don't you want that day to be your personal best for that day? I do. I love it. So this person I was talking to 2 hours ago, we were talking about that, her story, and the amazing things that she's all already about and that she wants to do and some other possibilities for her. And it became clear to me that it was a good topic to bring up. And so we chatted a little bit about it, about how to get to where you can have every day be your personal best. Your personal best every day. Think about that. What an astounding thing to have every day be your personal best. And as the Olympians proved, it's got nothing to do with being frantic, nothing to do with working yourself to death. You certainly put in the woodshedding hours, the hours of practice, but the person, who you're being, your attitude, your anxiety or lack thereof, your focus, your creativity that you bring to the practice and that you bring in relaxed focus to the performance is the key. That level of Olympic performance is available for you. And on top of it, it is required to create that ultimate life. All the purpose-driven life, all the prosperity, cash, freedom you want, and all the joy, ultimate, absolute happiness, that's available to you. But it's only available to those that are willing to deliver their personal best every day. Personal best. Now, if we have time at the end, I'll talk about a process to create your personal best every day. Right now, I want to take a few minutes and list some things that have come up for me. And I did a little research on this. I talked to Chatty and I looked up some stuff just to see what are the highlights of just the first half of these Olympics and the opening ceremony and the invocation to peace and to, you know, getting along and to the spirit of open competition, of fairness, and everything was talked about. And you can dismiss all that as a bunch of platitudinous crap, or you can hear it in your own life as a possibility. If you hear that and then you go out and rail on your neighbor because you think they're an idiot for who they're going to vote for, it doesn't matter what the party is, then you're not there. You know, you're not there. You're not living in relaxed focus. You're living in rage and nonsense, and you're not part of the solution. You're part of the problem. You're part of the problem. So here's some things that I noticed. There have been many world records shattered at this Olympics. Now, not always, certainly not always. There's lots of performances in the finals that are, you know, a second or 2 seconds or 3 seconds off the world record that was done sometime somewhere, usually not too long ago, maybe last summer or the one before that at the World Championships of whatever it is. But there have been a whole bunch of world records set, and in all kinds of different sports. And you know what? That just shows the dedication. It shows the dedication and power of the athletes that have trained themselves that to be that. Now, I haven't seen any of the Olympic stories this year yet. I'm sure there are some. I don't watch a lot of TV, so it's on as they go through the room, and sometimes they sit down for 15 or 20 minutes. But the Olympic stories are stories like, you know, the difficulty someone's gone through. A couple of Olympics ago, there was a snowboarder who crashed into a tree or something, and he was told he would never snowboard again. And it went through the whole story of his rehabilitation and determination. And here he was back at that Olympics, and he won a silver medal against everyone in the world after such a horrendous accident. That's dedication. That's power. You have that. Whether you've used it or not doesn't matter. You could. And this is your invitation. All right, I might sneeze here. So there have been a bunch of world records broken. That happens at every Olympics. And what does that mean? Clocks are getting slower? No, it means training methods are better. It means people are more dedicated. It means also sometimes that ways to cheat the doping tests have been discovered. So there's more doping and more negative stuff that happens. And there's a controversy about that right now. I think those Chinese swimmers were testing positive for some performance enhancing drug last Olympics. And several of those folks are still on the team. And WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, has not taken any action. And some other countries are raging about that. So, yeah, you can look at that side of it. And you can say all these ultimate performances are bullcrap because they're done with whatever. And some of them are. But you can decide if your life is going to be one of raging against everyone that succeeds, saying they cheated, or saying, wow, congratulations for that. How can I develop some of that skill? How can I develop some of that stamina, that perseverance? That's what I love working with clients. I take clients, people, regular folks that say, I can't do that. I can't get there. I can't make this amount of money. I can't get this done. And then we get it done. We get it done. We create a plan, just like going to the podium. We create a workout regime, whether it's physical, financial, or whatever. And then we have accountability and we work through that process. Why? Because you declared a goal. You said so, and your word is the ultimate thing in the universe. You know what? Your most important words and the most important words of all these Olympians are, because I said so. Ultimately, that's the reason they're on the podium. Because I said so. That phrase alone gives you the courage to get up every morning at 3, 4, 5, whatever o'clock, work all the work that's necessary, get all the good coaching that's necessary, and get yourself to the place where you do what you said you were going to do. The second thing that I noticed is a whole bunch of new young talent. Wow, Summer McIntosh, again, Canadian, so I'm looking at the Canadians because that's where I'm living right now, 17. I noticed in some research there were some as young as 16 have taken the spotlight and earned medals. Think about that. In any sport, I don't care. All kinds of sports, and some that I don't even know anything about. Right? I wasn't even interested in the hammer throw till guess what? Gold went to Canada and in the men and in the women. Yippee. Now all of a sudden, hammer throw is cool for me for a minute, right? But I think about the dedication that it took to do that. Younger and younger athletes. Now in the gymnastics, particularly the women's gymnastics, young athletes have always been the norm. Sometimes, you know, there's questions about they're even too young to be doing that. And I have some empathy with that because I think, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, I don't see them that young in the Olympics, but they start then. every day for hours and hours and hours. I mean, they lose their entire, what we call a childhood, devoted and dedicated to some sport because they have talent there. But anyway, women's gymnastics, some spectacular things. And then we had an older competitor, Simone Biles, showed up and, you know, in her floor X, she stepped out of bounds a couple times. And so she came in second by 3/1,000ths of a point, and somebody else won. And, you know, this, I think, is her fourth Olympics, which means she's been on this world stage for at least a dozen years. 0, 4, 8, 12. That's four Olympics, right? But training for who knows how many years before that, and the body just doesn't cooperate. There were some cramps and other things that got in the way. So younger and younger athletes are developing, and the future of sporting and all these competitions is bright, bright, bright. Now, we're going to continue to have trouble with people trying to cheat, people to whom winning is so important that the rules don't matter. That's sad. That is the same thing that gives rise to the wars and the other terrible things going on in the world. Money and greed and power is more important than truth, kindness, fairness. And that's a place where you and I can go to work. The third thing is I'd noticed, and I commented to my wife, that it seemed like most of the sports that were being broadcast were women's sports. And I'm all for the women's events, but I thought, crap, every time I come in here and look, it's the women's sport, the women's sports. And I love watching those, but I also wanted to see some of the men's. So, and I think that's intentional. And I don't actually know if it was more than 50-50 or some other percentage. It just seemed like whenever I was watching it, it was women's. But here's what I thought. That is fabulous in terms of us as a world, as a society, recognizing women and their accomplishments more effectively, more powerfully, more thoroughly. Decades, millennia, even hundreds of centuries, millennia, you know, there's been, that hasn't happened. Women have been put down and pushed out of the spotlight. Now there's more of that happening. There's more parity, and that's a fabulous thing. There, at least the one source I saw have said that there's a near equal representation of male and female athletes. And that is a good thing. That is a good thing. That gives everybody the hope that they can participate if they want to. Some other things that are partly to account for this growth, this more world records and so forth being broken, is, you know, technology advancements and so forth. I remember several years ago when the first watch or device wearable came out that wasn't sitting in a doctor's office, where you could monitor your heart rate and your EKG and stuff like that in real time. It was introduced to me as a meditation aid, so you could monitor your brain waves and your heart and your blood pressure in real time. And then you could control your breathing to get your body to cooperate more with getting into that state of flow. So technology has played a big part in this. That was the fourth thing. And the fifth thing, there has been in this games, a bunch of eco-friendly practices, renewable energy use, reducing plastics, and, you know, setting us up for more progress in this area. One of the things I didn't know that I'd been introduced to in the last, months or year, is the idea of these microplastics. Now, you may know all about that, and I may be behind the curve, but plastic, someone documentary that I saw said that every piece of plastic that's ever been produced is still here somewhere on the earth. Well, I don't know about you, but that's a horrifying thought. They break down, not back into their elements, but into microplastics, tiny, tiny plastics that are really small, and that means fish and animals and you and me, they're all over in our bodies. We are full of plastic. And the documentary that I saw a piece of was called Plastic People. And it talks about that growing threat because we have so much of it. Anyway, there's been a big push at this Olympics to bring awareness and do something about that that I thought was good. Another thing that I noticed is that this Olympics, even though all those wars that I talked about earlier and the struggles, This Olympics is a reminder. We can do better. You and me, we can do better. And that may sound like a bunch of platitudes, but here's the thing. I can't stop one of the wars that's going on by myself. I can't just walk into the battlefield and say, okay, enough, let's sit down and talk. But you know what I can do and what you can do? We can end the contention around us. We can refuse to participate in angry discussion. We can refuse to get violent, either with words or physical things, because someone doesn't agree with us. We can choose to take a stand, whether it's animal cruelty, plastics, clean environment, ideology, or anything else. We can refuse to take part in the negative rhetoric that is so demeaning. We can choose to be individually a beacon of light. Now, the Olympics is a world thing, and so it's a big beacon of light, but it's calling for the same things. And I used to think and even say to myself, well, I'm just one person. What can I do? Well, the answer to that truly is you can do plenty. Plenty. What would be different if in every conversation you were in, you never got mad, you never belittled anyone else, you never focused on negativity? I'm not saying agree with people and be a doormat, but the way you show up is with kindness, respect, and focus. You can make a change in your neighborhood. If we all did that, guess what? The world would change. And that's the only way the world is going to change, is one person at a time. Nobody except God could stand up and say, okay, enough, we're going to do this. And depending on what scriptures you look at or believe, that's going to happen at some point. But you know what? We don't need to wait till then. We can start right here, right now, and follow the example that we're being invited to follow of unity, of kindness, and focus. Another thing that I saw is a number of the athletes there are speaking out on, you know, different platforms, activist sort of voice. And whether I agree with all their views or not doesn't even matter. They're using their opportunities to speak out and make a difference. Well, you and I can do that. I'm not on a world stage, and I'm not going to occupy an Olympic event podium for any sport that I can imagine. But I do have a platform. This is one little piece of it. My podcast and my television show and this and my books and my speaking engagements and my songs. You have a platform. You have a platform, whether it's just one-to-one, the people you talk to, or other things that you do. What are you doing with your platform? Are you an activist for the things that you believe in? I don't mean stand up and be weird and go camp in the town square, although maybe you feel called to do that. But I mean, are you using your opportunities to do something good? I've noticed a bunch more athletes are doing that, and I love it. You know what else I noticed, especially in swimming, is mixed gender events. I thought that was fun. They had the 4x100 medley relay where, you know, there's the breast and the fly and the backstroke and the freestyle. And they had two men and two women. I've never seen that before. I thought that was cool. And there's more of that, again, emphasizing this gender parity. So we are growing up a little bit. We are getting a little more advanced. And I was excited to see that. I'd never seen it before. And then maybe that was my lack of attention last Olympics. But I know it's fairly new. And it was something for me that I noticed right now. And that goes to the topic of allowing in our own minds, the opportunity to erase the mistakes of the past, to participate together. Another thing that is part of every single Olympics, I told you the story of the snowboarder earlier, these comeback stories. I think the last Olympics, Simone Biles comes to mind. She was hurt, and so she withdrew because some injury, and now she's back again. And while she didn't win the gold, she won silver, and she came back as an older athlete, fourth Olympics, with a remarkable story. And there are lots of them. She's just one small example. There are several that I've seen, and I'm not recalling them all right now, but where people have had a big shot on the world stage and then been sidelined, sometimes by injury, sometimes by other life events. And then they get a comeback story. You know what? We need that. I believe in second chances. I've had them. Maybe you have. Maybe you need one. You get a second chance. You can be the greatest comeback story you have ever heard or seen. That's what I love about coaching. I love coaching especially people with massive hardballs from life thrown in the mix who will not be defined or limited by those things. Who say, I don't give a shit what's happened in the past. I am going forward. I've declared myself back in the game, back in the race. And we all have seen those videos where somebody falls down. It's usually on a track race and they even go on to win. How do you do that? The comeback capability is in all of us. Another thing is that I've seen was this cultural beauty. France is the host this time, and they've shown us all kinds of stuff. The Olympic Village was amazing. The different houses, Germany House and Israel House, and they went on with all of them, and they were incredible. One of the reporters said they'd never seen such stuff. It was the biggest display of the cultural diversity that they'd ever seen. So here we are elevating our differences to something to honor. Our differences is something to value. This, in this case, are cultural and language differences. But you know what? There's more that makes us the same than different. I love you as a human being. You have gifts, you have talents, and I'd love to talk with you about what they are. In fact, this is the time to invite you. If you'd like to have a chat, you're invited. Reach out to me and let's get to know each other. I've said over and over again, I set up my day, my week, my life, so I get to meet people because I love people. I'd love to meet you. One other thing I'd like to talk about also is the DEI sort of thing. That's a big controversy in the U.S. And, you know, when you create a DEI mechanism just to fix old wrongs and you make stupid decisions based on some inclusion criteria, that's idiotic because people die, mistakes get made, and errors happen. But when you stop any sort of discrimination and negative behavior based on those things, that is powerful. And the Olympics is a good example of that. There are several, at least I can think of at least two, but I know there's more, gold medals won by athletes from nations that have never won a medal at all, ever in any place before. Now they've got gold. Gold! And so the world is making an effort, some places more than others, to bring up more people, to give the opportunity to more people. Very small, underrepresented countries. We've got two of them that I can remember right now that have got gold. And one of them was a beautiful thing. This goes back to the women's gymnastics. It was a gal who won the all-around gold. And she, I think, is one of those from a country that had never won anything before. And if I'm wrong, I apologize. But it was certainly an underrepresented country. And Simone Biles was second, and there was another gal that was third. And when they gave them all that, they gave them their awards. They were standing there on the podium in a view of epic sportsmanship. Simone and that other third place gal got down and they, you know, waved at the new champion. Right. And I was moved by that. Talk about sportsmanship in a world where people get angry and bitter at that. You know, when they don't win and somebody else takes them and they find all the reasons, unfairness, this, that, and the other, it was total epic sportsmanship. Honored the new winner in what appeared to me to be complete full purpose of heart. I thought that was a beautiful thing. Another thing that I know is there's a new event brought in every year. And you know what it is this year? In Japan, last time it was surfing. And the surfing competition is not taking place in France. It's taking place in Tahiti. That's cool because there's French influence, French Polynesia down there. But anyway, Tahiti is where the surfing competition is. This year, it's breakdancing. This is introduced for the first time, you know, an urban sort of a street culture into mainstream Olympic stuff. I've seen some of those things. They just blow my mind. It was a guy that was one of the contenders. He talked about how many 10,000 hours and 1,000,000 bruises to do the things that he's learned to do. And I love it. You know, it's an incredible feat of athleticism and balance and dancing in general. So that's a new thing that I learned. There's the refugee team that has showed up and is part of it, which to me is another nod to our humanity. I love the fact that there's a refugee team. Teams are filled with athletes who don't have a country, who can't go somewhere. And, you know, I saw some stuff that said, well, you know, this is just a way for people who can't cut it to go be represented in some other way. And if they were better, don't be a pessimist. Rejoice with the opportunity. The best person's going to get gold anyway. And here's what I would ask. If you're feeling that way, where else in your life is that showing up? Where is it? Well, why can't you or I just be happy for good things that people are doing? Why do we have to think to look for the negative? Why do we have to assume, right, something bad? I encourage you, if you want to create your ultimate life, look for the good. And then I mentioned the new first ever winning gold, and that's, you know, just spreads the vitality and joy of all this. Now, I didn't list all the ones that I had, but that's all I'm going to bring today. And I want to close our last 5 minutes with this. Back to this question. What is your Olympic event? Where are you creating yourself on the podium? Where are you creating your ultimate life? I've shared mine with you. My goal this year is to help 250 million people. I'm asking for your help. I need you. I need you to spread the message. I need you to go listen to my podcast, if you're willing. It's called The Same Thing, Your Ultimate Life, and share it with two people. I'm asking you to share this show with two people. Why? Because my commitment is to issue encouragement, invitations, love, lifting to 250 million people. That's my commitment. I know I will get there. I'll get there faster with your help. The second invitation is, I don't know if you have a message about your life or not. The gal I talked to earlier today certainly did. You are valuable. You have a message and meaning to your life no matter what's happened. You may not have figured out what it is yet. You may have no desire to share or to serve, but you and I were built to love and serve. And if I can help you spread the message you have, I'd like you to reach out to me. I love having guests on this show who have a message, who want help spreading their message. Whatever you have overcome or learned or discovered, the growth that you have experienced, what I notice almost all the time, 99% of the time, is when someone like you or me, we go through a difficult period and we change who we're being. We become resilient. We overcome that obstacle. We melt the barriers, move the mountains, and mobilize superpowers. When we do that, you know what comes next? The next thing to come is a yearning. It came for me after I, you know, ended my addictions and stuff in 2007. I started working on my own growth. And as I began to make progress, the yearning came. And you know what the yearning is? The yearning was, you know, I could really help somebody with the things that I've learned. I didn't know these. I didn't have the help. I had to do a lot of this alone, and gratefully, my angel wife, Joy, and God Almighty showed up occasionally to my wife a lot, and God occasionally showed up to really help me. I realized that there's nobody that can't overcome their challenges or obstacles. You can have your ultimate life if you want to do the work. Anyway, as I began my own growth, I realized, wow, this path, these learnings, they would be really valuable to share. That's why I began writing books, why I began creating goals like 250 million. Last year it was 50, is to be of service. You have a story. You're invited. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to get to know you. I'd love to hear your story. I'd love to help you create a product or write a book about it. I'd like to spread your message if you want it, on this show or some other show. So that's an invitation I have for you. And the last invitation is this. There's a URL on the screen, and I hope you're watching the video because my big old phoenix is in the background rising from the ashes. www.yourultimatelife.ca. There's some free stuff there. I know. You and I were buried in free stuff till we can't even stand it anymore. And we're like, leave me alone. If I want it, I'll go find it. This is different. It's called Five Keys, Five Master Keys to Creating Your Ultimate Life, Your Life of Purpose, Prosperity, and Joy, where you love every day, and every day is a gold medal day with the highest, you know, accomplishment. You can have that. So go to www.yourultimatelife.ca and get the free stuff. It's free in money. It doesn't cost you money, but it will cost you time and effort and energy. Because nobody falls up the mountain. Nobody falls from the ground to the top of an Olympic podium. So whatever your podium is in your life, you can have it. You can get there. You can get the gold medal. You can win. You can have the ultimate life, but you're going to have to do the work. You know, get the rhythm and system and perseverance. Get the help you need. One of the greatest decisions I ever made was to start hiring coaches because I needed to get to the podium. No Olympic athlete ever got to their podium without a coach, maybe several, and a good one. Go get yours. You're worth it. You're powerful. You're important. I know. I know like I breathe. There's nothing you can't have if you want it. If you want to walk the path, do the work, get the help. Don't languish in frustration and negativity. Get up. Invest in yourself. You're worth it. So you can create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.